Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning, getting out and getting into the weather, and I hope nobody fell on the way, and hope you make it back without falling home this afternoon. And we've tried to clear off the sidewalks pretty good outside, and they are getting better by the moment, so that's a good thing to know. I want to share with you a couple of stories. First of all, through being involved in law enforcement for many years, as I was able to meet a lot of different personalities. Some of them shocked me, you know. I remember a couple of young deputies watching this beautiful blonde walk down the hallway, and they were talking about her and how pretty she was until she turned and she had the biggest Adam's apple I've ever seen in my life, which, of course, contradicts everything, right? Means not a woman. And I kind of laughed. I had a snicker to myself about the comments they made about her, where they think I wasn't listening to them. And I met a gentleman who had come in from a different country and who was part of a Mexican cartel. And we talked for a little while, and for some reason he just started opening up. And in the end asked me to pray for him, but he had 7 teardrops tattooed from the corner of his eye. And I asked him, I said, "Did you earn those?" And he said, "Yes, I did." Which, if you don't understand, a teardrop is a life taken. And so he's headed off to prison for the rest of his life here in the United States. And I'm the last deputy to see him before he enters the prison system. And he said, "Will you pray for me?" And I said, "I will pray for you if you will do this. If you will pick up a Bible the first chance you get." And I gave him 3 scriptures to take a look at. And then I passed his name on to a gentleman who I knew was working in prison ministry in the Lexington area. But, you know, through the years of meeting all these different characters, there was one that kind of sticks out of my mind. He's a gentleman who is a preacher now. And he's semi-retired, still preaching for a small congregation here in the U.S. And when I first met him, I remember he came to the house and he was working as a missionary and looking for support from the local congregation. And I was pretty young, maybe 5th grade or so. And he asked me to come into the kitchen where he was sitting. And he'd come to the door. I remember this big cowboy hat on, and he had a big belt buckle on that was made out of cowhide. Still had all the hair in it, but cut into the cowhide, it said God, you know? And of course, 5th grade, I thought, does he think he's God, you know? I didn't know, right? And of course, coming from a mission field, he wanted people to know at a glance that he believed that God existed. That was his point of it. But I'm learning, and I didn't know he was. And he said, "Keith, come here for a minute. I got something to show you." And he takes a piece of paper and wads it up, takes a fork in one hand, and he says, "Now, if I drop these both right here, which one is going to hit the ground first?" You know? I'm not thinking science, right? I'm thinking fork, obviously, right? And he goes, "Well, let's see." So he drops them. They both hit the ground at the same time. And he says, "Keith, did anybody ever talk to you about white lies?" And I said, "I know what a white lie is. That's a little lie you tell." And he said, "You know the difference between a little lie and a really big lie?" "Yeah, the one's big, right? I'm a kid." "No. They both come to God the same way." And I've never forgotten him. I've never forgotten his personality. And as I grew and got older, he shared with me more about his life. And it was a woman who gave him a World Bible School study that began to make a difference in his life. And then meeting a preacher later on who sat down and started to have a study with him. And then finally, a young woman who eventually became his wife, who actually brought him to Christ through studying God's Word with him. But his history is that when he was young, he was a biker, you know, in the 60s. And he would ride around, and eventually he got involved with a very well-known biker group. And one night we were sitting and visiting, and I told him, you know, we were talking back and forth about people's lives and how they had changed, and he said, "Keith, there's something you need to understand. My life has changed more than most people realize." You know, the biker group that I was involved in, we did hits. And I was in high school. I said, "You mean like kill somebody?" He said, "Yes. Yes, we did." And I said, "Were you ever involved in those kind of things?" And he said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you all that. I'm just going to tell you that I've done a lot of things in my life that I hope no one ever knows about. No one ever knows about. And I still don't know. I talked to him on a regular basis, and I saw him just a couple of weeks ago. We visited for a little while, and I've learned that let the past be in the past, that we both focus on God and our faith now, right? Acts chapter 8, if you have a Bible on your phone, on an iPad, or a regular book Bible with you, we're going to take a look at a few verses from there. I'm going to have to do something one of these days to get this higher. This is made for guys a little bit shorter than me. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was something great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is rightly called the great power of God.' And they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter and John placed their hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, 'Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' And Peter answered, 'May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in the ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness, captive to sin.'" And you know, if we stop right there, we begin to wonder about Simon, right? Here's this man who's so focused on himself, right? Look at me, look what I can do, come follow me. Rightly, this is a man who has the power of God. We need to follow him. And then his world begins to change because of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And eventually he's baptized also. And then, you know, he looks and sees, look at this power. Here it is again, something that's extraordinary. I want to be able to do that. Always looking out for himself, wasn't he? Isn't that the world that we live in? People constantly want to look out for themselves. What about me? What for me? What can I do for me? How can I make things better for me? How can I rise up above others, right? You know, I think sometimes here in America we have a problem because everybody wants to be a chief. I mean, I tell you something, I do. I like being a chief sometimes. But you know what? We need to be able sometimes to find contentment in being an Indian, right? And being a follower. I use those terms because I heard somebody talking about that today. Or not today, this weekend. Saying that, you know, the problem in America is everybody wants to be a chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian. And it is one of those things. We're not content, are we? Philippians 4:13, and I've been drilling the teenagers about this. Your children should know what the verse above that says, verse 12. What's Philippians 4:13? I can do... Are y'all being shy this morning? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens, or through him who strengthens me, depending on the version, right? But what's the verse above that say? That's a big question, isn't it? The discussion of the verses before that is Paul saying, I have learned to be content, whether I have nothing or everything that I need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It is important for us to realize how much power there is in God's Word if we know God's Word. If we understand, it doesn't matter whether we need things in this life or we have all that we need, we learn to be content. And you would think, well, if I had everything I need, I'd be content, right? Have you ever known anybody who got something new who within the next 3 months didn't start thinking about something else new? I mean, if you admit it to yourself, you're the same way. You achieve one goal, there's another. There's something else I want, right? And it's funny how those change. A few weeks back, I went into the flea market here in Tulsa, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at things for Caleb, you know, a birthday present, trying to think ahead. And I walked upon a man. He's got some of the old stereo record players. I mean, the big consoles, right? The big consoles that are 4 and 5 and 6 feet across, right? And I'm thinking, man, that just sounds so cool. It takes me back to when I was a young person, and I like hearing that vinyl play. And I walked over and I said, how much do you want for this? Oh, $450. $400. You know, I didn't say that. I was like, thank you very much, sir. Have a nice day. It's amazing the things we don't have. And people, we want them over again sometimes, even the things that we get rid of, don't we? We're just not content. But if we get into God's Word, it teaches us to be content with those things, right? All right, back to our text real quick. Verse 22 is where I ended. We're going to start in verse 23. Verse 24. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. There's the verse that's most important out of that entire story. Pray for me that those things may not happen to me. To understand that the Word of God begins to change lives. It begins to change focus and vision and future and even overcome the past. To change the lives of those who may have even taken someone else's life out of revenge or anger. And to begin to make them a godly person. I want to share with you just a few short verses and the lesson is yours this morning. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 says, this is the meaning of the parable. This is the meaning of the parable. Luke chapter 8, Jesus is sharing the parable of the seeds, the sower, right? And they cast the seeds out, and some fell on rocky ground and into the thorns. But here's for me today the most important verse that I found this week. Luke 8:11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. James 1:17-18. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. Through the Word of truth. That we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He has created. First meaning the beginning? No. First meaning the most important. That's incredible that my God says that through His Word He's given to me by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you are a kind of first fruit. You are the most important. Through His Word of truth, we become that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." And I think in this world that we live in, we feel like, and especially as I see people in the world proclaiming that they belong to Jesus, right? But if you were to ask them, what is 1 Corinthians 13 all about? Or what's Romans 6 all about? Where do you find the Sermon on the Mount? They don't know. They can't tell you. Some of them wouldn't even know what Sermon on the Mount. Now, I think I heard of that one time, someplace. And yet we see over and over again, it's through the Word that lives begin to change. It's through sharing the message of the gospel that the power of the Word begins to make people something greater than they are. And you've heard me say this once before. If you have nothing greater than yourself to live for, then life will never be what it's supposed to be. It must be something greater than yourself. And in that, everything outside of the deity of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ and His Spirit is empty and will come to a shallow end. It will never be enough. You will never learn to be content by the strength that He gives you if He's not the one that you're looking for that strength in. To say that all that I have is enough. You know, in my house right now, Janine and I bought a house that needs a little bit of work. You know what the best thing in my house right now is? The fireplace. I love it. It's wood burning. It's not gas. And I said, and if you follow me on Facebook, you've probably seen that picture. You know, this year, the first real cold night we had, and I was sitting in front of my fireplace and flames. I'm not a great fire guy, but man, I got it roaring that night good. And it was beautiful. And I was sitting there listening to the wood pop and crack. And it didn't even cross my mind at the time that in my bedroom, I've got nothing but concrete floor. No carpet, no padding. I got nothing. I didn't care. And you know what? I still don't really care. It'll come, right? It'll come one step at a time. This house will get better and better. I got plenty, and it gives me something to do. To know that it's okay. It's not the things that are most important in life. God's Word reminds me of those things. Right? Read this with me. I hope you can see one of the banners. Can you see one side or the other? Read it with me aloud. Let's stand together while we read this. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Be seated. When we realize that God's Word has power in it to make a difference in our lives, then when you pick up His Word at home, early in the mornings, Elliot and I chose this picture very strategically. I hope you understand that. Because to us, as we were talking, and we went over a bunch, didn't we, Elliot? Why do we choose? What do we put in the background as our theme for this year? A priceless journey, the living power of God's Word. How do we portray to the people that that's our goal this year? To be in His Word, to be learning it, to be making a part of our lives. And finally, we came up with this ideal. And I want you to understand, to us, to Elliot and I, what this means is, and when we shared with the elders, they said, "That sounds great." That when you rise in the morning, it should be the same as grabbing your coffee or your hot chocolate, to grab your Bible and say, "This is the way I start my day. This is the beginning of the next breath that God has given to me. How incredible is that? But if we don't fall in love with His Word and the power that's available in it, then we miss the strength that we gain from it. All right, just a few more verses and I'm done, I promise. The 119th Psalm, beginning in verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect. And I want so desperately in my life to be able to say, Lord God of heaven, I will not neglect your word. The 62nd Psalm, verses 11 and 12. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone, according to what they have done. How incredible are those words? To be reminded of His power and His might through His Word, and that we are rewarded according to what we have done. Brethren, here's the close this morning. Without His Word as a part of your life, you can't reach into the life of someone like Simon and make a difference. By living it, by acting it, by being those first fruits that His Word talks about. Galatians chapter 6, right? By making it come alive in your life is how you begin to change the life of a man who has teardrops tattooed down the side of his face. Or is riding along with a motorcycle gang who's involved in things that you know they don't need to be involved in. Or change the life of someone who has a drug addiction or alcohol addiction, because we can't do it alone. But in the living and active Word of God, being a part of who we are, taking our knowledge and making it alive in the lives of those we come into contact with. How incredible is that? If we can surround you this morning and just pray with you to give you the strength to make His Word a daily part of your life, or if we can help you be united with Christ in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, calling on His name, being raised to walk in newness of life, we want to help you do that this morning. Why don't you come as we stand and sing.
From glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard that it's from me, of His precious blood atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me with His redeeming blood.
mother's cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed commands and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there.